Thank you, musicians. And good evening, everyone. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. We pointed out on Wednesday night that these Hebrew believers, in turning to Christ, had turned their backs on the temple, on the God-given ceremonies and rituals connected with temple worship. They had turned their back on the priesthood. And from that standpoint, they were no longer represented by the priests of the Aaronic order. They turned their backs on the priesthood. They turned their backs on the sacrifices. And we can't appreciate that. We have difficulty in understanding what that must have been for these Jews, reared and trained in their God-given religion, to turn their backs on all of that. But in doing so, they were persecuted. They had not only left and in that sense lost all of that, they had lost their own personal possessions, as you will note in chapter 10 and verse 34. They took joyfully the spoiling of their goods, realizing that they had in heaven a better and an enduring substance. But they had turned their backs on all of their God-given religion. But what had they received in the place of it? Well, as this writer points out in going through this letter, they had received a greater revelation. This is what we have particularly in chapters 2 and 3. A greater revelation in Christ. They had received a greater rest, which brings us to chapter 4. The Jewish people longed to enter into the land. We think of the many years they were in the wilderness, and they longed to enter into the land and have rest. Well, the writer of this epistle, possibly Paul, we don't know for sure, but possibly Paul, the writer, points out that they have in Christ a greater rest that cannot be disturbed. It's a spiritual rest. And continuing on in the book, he points out that they had received a greater representative. And this brings us to chapters 5 through 7 particularly, on and beyond, but particularly those chapters. A greater representative. Not just any man representing them as they had in the past, a man who would die and someone would take his place. No, a greater representative in that the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous one, is in the glory at God's right hand, ever living to make intercession for us, a greater representative. And on up to this chapter, he points out that they had received a greater redemption. It was a once and for all sacrifice in Christ. With the sacrifices of the Old Testament days, never could they say that's enough. Now I have a perfect standing before God. No, with those sacrifices, there was that remembrance every year concerning the sin question. They didn't need a remembrance, they needed removal. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, died, shed his blood, and obtained an eternal redemption, as we were emphasizing this morning. But now, how were these believers to live? The way all believers live, they were to live by faith. Faith in God. We pointed out that Bible faith is not a hunch to be followed. It is not blind optimism. Bible faith is not positive thinking. True Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. Faith is believing what God says and acting upon it. Now the writer in essence says, I have been declaring to you these new things that you have in Christ. But there is something that isn't new, and that is the principle of faith. Even the fathers, the elders, as we read in verse 2, for by it the elders, that is, these ones whom we find in faith's hall of fame, these Old Testament characters, who did what they did for the glory of God by faith. Whatever they did, whatever sacrifices they offered, whatever works they accomplished, it was their faith in God that gave value to those sacrifices and to those works. So, in coming to Hebrews chapter 11, we are coming to what I call Faith's Hall of Fame. And we have here an exemplification of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Look right back to the top of the page. Maybe it's the top of your page. Chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. Where do we find that statement, first of all? We find it in the Old Testament in the book of Habakkuk. If you pronounce it Habakkuk, that's okay, but Habakkuk. That's where it's found, chapter 2 and verse 4. And when we go back and read and meditate upon that portion of Scripture, we find that Habakkuk was a disturbed man. He was perplexed. As he looked around, he saw the conditions of his nation, the Jewish people, were terrible. They were on a downward course as never before. So many of his people were taken up with so much wrong, so much wickedness. And the righteous people seem to be suffering so. And it's as if Habakkuk is asking, where is God? Why doesn't he do something? Isn't he aware? Where is God? And so Habakkuk went up into the watchtower to be alone with God. He was going to wait to see what would happen. Well, God spoke to him. And God made it clear to this Old Testament person that he was not inconsistent, he was not indifferent, nor was he inactive. He was well aware of the condition of his people. And God conveyed to Habakkuk that he was going to use the Babylonian people as a scourge to his people. Well, that perplexed him even more, because he couldn't understand how God would use a people like the Babylonians, more unrighteous than his people, as a scourge against them. But the key verse in that little book of the Old Testament, Habakkuk, is chapter 2 and verse 4. It's as if God is saying to Habakkuk that regardless of what takes place, the just shall live by his faith. Now, that statement is repeated 3 times in the New Testament with a different emphasis each time. You'll find it in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. You need not turn to it, but you'll find it in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. The just shall live by faith. And the emphasis there is on the just. The theme of Romans, as you know, is justification by faith. The one way a person can become just before God is through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When one trusts Christ as Savior, that one's sinful record is clear. Justification carries the thought that there is no accusation against me whatsoever. The record is clear. The record is clean. So much so that Paul asks in Romans, who shall lay any charge to God's elect? It is God who justifies. And God sees every believer in Jesus Christ, as we pointed out in referring to Colossians chapter 1, God sees every believer holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So that we not only stand before God in Christ as if we had never committed any sin, but we stand before God as if we had always been holy. The just shall live by faith. And we find that statement the second time in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11, where the emphasis seems to be, shall live. In Romans we are told how a person can be just before God. Now in Galatians the emphasis is that we are to live by the same faith that justifies us. In Galatians, you have living by faith in contrast to living by the law. The law only served to bring us to Christ. And the just shall live by faith. And now to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38, the third and last time that this statement from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4 is found in the New Testament. And here the emphasis is on faith. The just shall live by faith. We pointed out in verses 1 through 3 that we have the excellency of faith. As we move on down in the chapter, we have examples of living by faith. And the latter part of the chapter, exploits accomplished for the glory of God by faith. Now, God has given to us 5 senses to live in this physical world. Now, with these 5 senses, we are able to live in this area, in this realm, where we can see and touch, where things are tangible, in a realm where we are dealing with material things, with natural things. God has equipped the human race with these 5 senses for such an existence. But now when it comes to the realm of the unseen, that which is not tangible, you can't put your finger on it. You can't see it. You can't taste it. It's outside of the physical realm altogether. That is where faith comes in. And faith has aptly been called a 6th sense. It is in the spiritual realm that faith operates. Look back at the first 3 verses. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders, these Old Testament Bible characters, those who went before, for by it the elders obtained a good report or had witness borne to them. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Things unseen are made real to us by faith. Now, the world cannot comprehend them. The world cannot perceive them. But we who are saved, we believers, believe what God says. The scientists will argue as to how the universe came into being. We have no difficulty with it. We understand, don't we? God spoke the worlds into existence. We have no difficulty with that, because we believe what God says. Now, faith makes the unseen real to us. And these spiritual things are not unreal. There is nothing fanciful about them. That word substance, we pointed out very briefly on Wednesday night. When you look at the word, you can have some understanding of what it means. Substance. Substance. It is that which stands under, like a foundation to a house. The foundation standing under that house gives to that house stability, security. It is faith. That is what faith does. Faith is that which stands under. It speaks of the ground on which one builds his hope. According to Moulton and Milligan, and I'm quoting, it stood for the whole body of documents bearing on the ownership of a person's property, deposited in archives and forming the evidence of ownership. Some have rendered it, faith is the title deed of things hoped for. They are yet in the future. And we read of these Old Testament characters who died in faith, still waiting for them to be fulfilled. And they will. Faith is real. Faith is real seeing. Look back at verse 27 of chapter 11. Verse 27 of chapter 11. By faith, he, Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. That sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? As seeing him who is invisible. But that is what faith does. It makes that which is beyond the physical realm, the natural realm, that cannot be experienced with the five senses. Faith makes spiritual things real. So in going through faith's hall of fame, it is impressed upon us that the just person, the one who is saved, the one who has a right standing before God, the just person can and should live by faith. We are not saved by faith and then to live our lives apart from that faith. But rather, that faith is to be the motivating power and the guiding principle of our Christian lives. Now the question arises, and maybe as we are led through faith's hall of fame, and these different Old Testament characters are pointed out to us, we might ask the guide, well now wait a minute, how does faith work? And God says, now I'll show you how it did work in the lives of men and women in the past. And that will help you to see how it should work in your life. So, as we start through faith's hall of fame, where does God begin in this faith's hall of fame? Well, the place to begin, at the beginning. He begins with salvation. So that is what we have right at the beginning in verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. But wait a minute. Why not start at the beginning? Why not start with Adam? That was a question that came to my mind. Why start with Abel? Well, this is faith's hall of fame. In this hall of fame, we have those listed here who obeyed God. Adam, it seems throughout Scripture, is thought of one who disobeyed God. We were reading this morning from Romans chapter 5. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I realize the writer is contrasting the first man, Adam, with the second man, the Lord from glory, or a contrast between the first Adam and the last Adam. No other federal heads to come. But why not Adam? Because in thinking of Adam, we think of the one who was responsible. Now, he wasn't deceived, but we think of the one who was responsible for the fall. But this is faith's hall of fame. And God starts with salvation through sacrifice. And so we read of Abel. He offered a more excellent sacrifice. Now, why does God say his sacrifice was more excellent? Well, he offered it by faith. But how did he know to do that? Now, you stop and think about that. How did he know to offer a sacrifice? Well, now, if your mind is running the way mine did, you might be thinking, well, weren't sacrifices offered for Adam and Eve? I mean, they were clothed with the skins of animals. Wasn't there the shedding of blood in the garden? Yes. But we read in Genesis 2:21, God clothed Adam and Eve with the coats of skins. It's not that Adam offered a sacrifice, or at least we're not told that. But God clothed them with coats of skin. Now, we are brought to the conclusion that though Abel had heard about blood sacrifice or blood being shed to clothe his parents, God must have revealed his will in a definite way concerning without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or no forgiveness of sins. The downrush of logic brings us to that conclusion. He must have been told that without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, no remission of sins. And that's what we read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, and verse 22. We know also from Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And here is Abel listed in faith's hall of fame. He had to hear the word of God. God's will must have been made known to him, and that quite clearly. When you go back to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4, you will read where Abel offered the firstling of his flock, a lamb, but it says the firstling of his flock. And you will read in Genesis 4 and 4 that he offered the fat thereof, which means the animal was put to death. The animal was slain. By killing that lamb and offering it to God, Abel acknowledged at least four things. First of all, he acknowledged that God was righteous in driving fallen man out of the Garden of Eden that we read of in Genesis 3:24. Abel acknowledged that God was righteous in doing that. Secondly, he acknowledged that he was a guilty sinner deserving of death, deserving of God's judgment. That is what is implied in the offering of the sacrifice. Thirdly, he acknowledged that God was holy and must punish sin. And in offering a sacrifice, he's offering a substitute, as if to say, oh God, may the judgment that is due me, the sinner, fall upon this animal that I am offering as a substitute instead of myself. He acknowledged that God was holy and must punish sin. And fourthly, he owned that God was merciful and willing to accept the death of an innocent substitute in his place. That animal was without sin, and thus without guilt. And so the animal was offered as a sacrifice. So by faith, Abel placed the blood of a substitute between his sins and the avenging justice of God. And God says he offered a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. When Abel believed God, he discovered a great truth. The truth that man cannot have God's ability until he is prepared to recognize the poverty of his own. And this is what blood sacrifice teaches. A life must be laid down before one can have the life of God. And his sacrifice only pointed to Christ, the perfect sacrifice, the one that was and is sufficient for all eternity. Now we read that his sacrifice was more excellent than that of Cain. What a contrast. Cain realized the existence of God. Now understand that. It wasn't that he did not believe in the existence of God, he did so. And Cain was not irreligious because he brought an offering to the Lord, recognizing the existence of God, and he came offering to God his sacrifice. He came before God as a worshiper as such, but he refused to obey God. His offering was a bloodless one. And we repeat, without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. His offering was a bloodless one. His offering was the fruit of his own toils and labors, the product of his labors. Thirdly, he deliberately ignored the sentence of God in Genesis 3:17, where the ground was cursed. And here he is offering the fruit of that which was cursed. And lastly, he despised the grace made known in Genesis 3:21. God did not accept his sacrifice. So this is where the life of faith starts. It has to start here. It starts by salvation through a sacrifice. Salvation by faith. And this is faith that worships. Now, as we are taken through Faith's Hall of Fame, we might say, well, Lord, I want to be a worshiper. You have said, God seeketh such to worship him. Lord, I want to be a worshiper. And in taking us through Faith's Hall of Fame, God would say, now you consider Abel. It was his faith that enabled him to worship. He offered the right sacrifice. And it is through worship that we give back to God what he has given to us. Worship is not Bible teaching. Worship is not Bible preaching. Worship is not witnessing. Bible teaching and Bible preaching is that which comes down from God through a gifted individual, which is by God himself, and given in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, whereby worship is that which goes up to God from a redeemed heart, as we give back to God thoughts of his well-beloved Son. Lord, I want to worship. Consider Abel, this man of faith. Well, Lord, I want to walk with you. Consider Enoch, and we will be considering him. Well, Lord, I want to work for you. Consider Noah. And right on through. But the starting point is Abel. Salvation by sacrifice. This is the starting point of the life of faith. One cannot live a life of faith unless he has trusted Christ as Savior and made just in the sight of God, because the just shall live by faith. Or the just shall live by his faith. So at this starting point, we have an able recognition of ruin. Redemption provided because of the sacrifice. Righteousness procured. God declared him to be righteous, as he declares every person to be righteous in the perfect sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. So righteousness procured, and his record speaking today. Abel continues to speak salvation through a sacrifice, taking God at his word and acting upon it, being obedient to the word of God. We are to be men and women of faith. I trust we are, and I trust we will be. Let's turn in our hymnals to number 390. 390. Thank you, musicians. 390. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. We're going to sing the first and third stanzas. My heart is leaning on the Word, the written Word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through his blood. The first and third stanzas of 390. Would you like to stand, please?